That isn't just the sound of the all-new 2016 Mercedes-Benz GLC being put through its paces. It's the sound of innovation. The innovation behind one of the most advanced SUVs on the road today. With multiple driving modes, a suite of intelligent drive systems, and a technology-filled cabin that sets new standards in modern luxury. This is what innovation sounds like. Now, discover what it feels like in a 2016 Mercedes-Benz GLC.
Some equipment described as optional.
Log Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 7 of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is all about how to ignite your life and shine. My name is Amy Hackett-Jones. I'm a leadership and life coach for happiness and high performance. And my focus is all about how to be brilliant, how to live life brilliantly. This show takes a deep and impactful look at exactly that. So it's about inviting you, our listeners, into the very essence of who you're being as you show up to your lives, whether that's at work, at home, with your family, friends, etc. And the people I choose as my guests on the show bring a combination of ancient wisdom teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills that they translate into actionable strategies so that you may step into being the best version of yourselves. So today, we have somebody very special to me. I met her, I think, for the first time 3 years ago in San Francisco, and it is Ahalya Kathis. She is a leadership consultant and a leadership coach, executive coach, and she helps male leaders, particularly, and entrepreneurs to do work they love and be remarkable leaders. She has over 10 years of experience working with executives as a leadership consultant and executive coach. She helps them be more self-aware and self-confident so they can inspire and influence the people they lead and actualize their big visions. Ahalya herself envisions a world in which men and women are empowered and express their genius in the world. She also believes that when you discover and express your brilliance, you'll be most fulfilled and be of greatest contribution to the world. Now, I just have to add, before I introduce her onto the show, Ahalya's YouTube channel recently reached 1 million views, which is pretty amazing. She's also recently been published in Forbes on the topic of effective leadership, how to be more than just a boss. And she became a leadership consultant in her early 20s and a certified coach at the very young age of 25. She's now worked with over 1,000 leaders in the past 10 years alone. And soon after receiving her visa to work in the U.S. in late 2015, one of her first clients was a leader at Google. So, wow, Ahalya. What a lot of accolades and achievements and absolutely living brilliance to its core. Welcome onto the show. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here, Amy. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Absolute pleasure. So let's just dive right in and let's take a look at your journey, because it's been quite a remarkable one so far. If you'd just like to tell us a little bit about where you've come from and why you were so attracted at such a young age to leadership coaching and consulting.
Mm. Sure. So I think I'll start with university. So when I went into university, I went into a business school, and it was a sort of an unusual business school where I was doing an undergrad. And the business school was modeled off of the Harvard MBA program. And so I went to the Richard Ivey School of Business in Canada, which is where I'm from Toronto. And when I was there, I was always noticing that whenever we did case studies, which is the whole program, I would always be focused on the people aspect of leadership. So no matter whether we were doing finance cases or marketing cases, I was always saying things like, well, I think if the leader was more effective, then they wouldn't be in this problem in the first place. Or I think the leader needs to be thinking about, you know, engagement or morale. So I just noticed myself naturally doing that. And to fast forward a little bit, everyone was graduating from business school and going into iBanking, investment banking, or consulting and strategy consulting. And I discovered this world of HR consulting or human capital consulting. And that's how I started my career, because I felt like it was the perfect blend of this world of business and this world of people that I was really fascinated by, and bringing those two together. And I ended up working for a consulting firm called Knightsbridge that was now bought out by a U.S. multinational company called Lee Hecht Harrison. And I learned everything I know today. I mean, so much of what I know today I learned there, because I started there when I was in my early 20s. It was so rare for somebody at that age to be working with senior executives and leaders, helping leaders be in executive teams function better together, and helping groups of leaders, you know, function better together. And I just begged my way into that job. I mean, I just said, I promise I'll add value. I promise I'm smart and I'll work hard. Just hire me. And after 9 interviews later, I got hired into that job. And it was really where my whole journey began. And then a few years into that, I discovered executive coaching, and it really was a discovery. Like, somebody new had been hired into the company to evangelize really coaching within the company, and so I asked her, hey, what do you do, and what is this thing called coaching? And when she told me, I remember thinking, people get paid to do that? This is what I do with family and friends for free, for fun. You know, and so I just said to her, I want to do this. How do I do this? And here I was, 25, and, of course, every other executive coach I knew was, you know, at least a couple decades older than me or so.
Yep.
And you know, all it takes is one person, and I'm so grateful. Her name's Karen Wright, and I'm so grateful to her. She said, Ahalia, you can do it. I believe in you. You're smart. You've got business savvy. And her key piece of advice was, but do it right. Get trained. Get certified. Mm-hmm. Learn how to do it well. And so that's what I did. I researched a lot of different coaching schools. I chose the Coaches Training Institute, which happens to be based out of the Bay Area, but I did it in Toronto when I was still there. And I became a certified coach. And then I guess a little bit of you know, the rest is history, but I will share that I worked for that consulting firm for a couple more years before I started off on my own and started my own business.
Uh-huh. And what was that like?
Well, it was scary. And, you know, the journey that I took was definitely not one of diving into the deep end right away. When I discovered coaching, you know, it then took me several months to go through my training and certification. It was also around the time that I had gone off to India on what I call my sort of finding myself journey for 8 months. And so when I came back from that trip, I was really clear that I wanted to do coaching. I wanted to do more coaching. I was clear about how I wanted to impact people and who I wanted to impact. And I think that was the biggest difference between what I was doing at the consulting firm and when I left to start my own business. You know, I was working with very senior executives in big corporations. They were primarily male, about 80% or, you know, probably more were men clients, male clients. And they were older men. They were, you know, 45 plus, 50 plus. And I noticed that I wanted to work with people that were younger, more like me, people that may not even know what coaching is, may not have their companies investing in coaching for themselves because they're not senior enough in their organizations. And I wanted to make that available to them. And I just thought to myself, if I can affect people at a younger age, when they're in their late 20s, 30s, or even early 40s, then I could change the trajectory of, you know, their career, their life, or how they lead and how they make a difference for people. And so I really felt that I could make a bigger difference with that audience. And at the time, that wasn't where my consulting firm was focusing, you know, in terms of their clients. And so I decided, okay, I think it just makes sense for me to go off on my own. I had always wanted to be my own boss, wanted to start my own company, but I didn't really have an idea, you know, when I was first graduating from business school. So I didn't do it. I just moved into consulting. But once I could see that, oh, this is the business I want to build, and this is the kind of lifestyle I want to have, and these are the kinds of people I want to serve, and this is how I want to serve them, then it was just, it all started to come together. And it took me 2 years from that time that it, in my mind, I had this vision to actually leaving the consulting firm, starting the business, because I was, you know, I really needed to build confidence, Amy. I just wasn't very confident in my ability to get new clients, to, you know, really do that and take care of myself financially. And so it took me a couple years to work with clients on the side, know that I was getting, giving them some incredible results, have some raving fans. And then all of that gave me the confidence to say, okay, I can absolutely do this. I can build a business, and this is what I want. You know, I really do want to do this, not just like, oh, this sounds like a great idea. I'm a big fan of test driving things, and I encourage all my clients to do that too. So that's, you know, so it was not as scary because I very consciously made it not as scary. And even still, even after 2 years of test driving and doing it on the side and preparing myself, it was still incredibly scary, you know, to just make the jump. And then, of course, I made an even bigger jump when I moved to San Francisco, because then I moved to a completely new country and city, a city where I literally knew nobody when I first came here. I mean, Amy, I think you were one of the first people I met in San Francisco, and neither of us even lived here at that point. So I really built, you know, everything, and I'm still building everything from scratch, a completely new community, a completely new client base, you know, building exposure and credibility with an audience that doesn't know me. So it feels like I'm starting over again. It's exciting, and it's more exciting now than it is scary. It was definitely scary a few months ago.
Goodness me. So what an incredible journey, and I mean, what a brilliant place to have ended up, San Francisco.
Absolutely.
So you've consciously gone from an executive leadership role, so to speak, and yet, like you said, you transitioned over time, you built up your experience and your fan base, so to speak. So one thing that you said just then that really inspires me as well is talking about vision. So I'd just like you to talk a little bit more about the vision you had, because you talked about the lifestyle you wanted, the type of business you wanted, the type of people you wanted to serve. And how did you sort of, what did you do to live or should I say lean into that vision when you first started materializing for you? What were sort of the action steps that you took to make that a reality?
Yeah. Great question. So first, I just want to underline how critical vision is. I mean, it's not just critical, it's like it's necessary. Without vision, whatever's happening for you is basically happening by default. And so I, you know, every time I work with leaders, any client, anyone I'm mentoring, coaching, my first question is, what do you want? Like, what do you really, really, truly, deeply want? And I really do believe that the number one reason why people don't have what they want is because they don't know what they want. They think they know what they want. Either they don't know what they want and they know that they don't know, or they think they know, but it's really not what they truly want. It's just what maybe everyone else around them wants or what they think they should want, you know, all of that. So it's like their vision isn't really their vision. And so I just wanted to underline that, Amy, because I think you'd agree with me how important that is, like having a strong, you know, vision and desire for that vision to become a reality is the first place to start. So once I find, and I found this in my own life as well as with every one of my clients, is once you have clarity on that vision, once you have that clarity, courage is almost like a natural result of that clarity. Like, people will often say, wow, it must have taken so much courage for you to just move to San Francisco and go through the, you know, visa hurdles and all of what it took to get here. And I always say, you know, it did take courage, but actually what was more important was the clarity that this is where I wanted to be. Once I knew this was where I wanted to be, and the people I wanted to serve are here, the brilliant, ambitious founders, leaders who are creating incredible things that I'll never be able to create, but I'll certainly be able to support them in making their visions a reality. You know, I mean, I'm all about creating leaders. And once I knew that this is where my people were and this is where I wanted to live my life, like it's beautiful in the Bay Area. I fell in love with this place as soon as I came here, and I felt like I was home. And so once I knew that, Amy, then it was like, oh, it was really quite natural to take the next step. It's like, okay, well, then I need to figure out how am I going to get here? Like, what visa do I need? I can't tell you how many hours I have spent speaking to people and lawyers about visa things. You know, it's a common conversation in San Francisco, to be honest, because many people are attracted here from other parts of the world, and everyone's dealing with the visa thing. So that was one of the first things I thought. It's like, okay, well, if I want to live and work here and I want to do my own business, you know, I knew I didn't want to work as Google's employee. I wanted Google as a client, but I didn't want to work as their employee. So that meant a different kind of visa, a harder visa to get. But I was clear. I wasn't moving to San Francisco to be, you know, an employee at some cool company. And so then that started my whole, you know, the actions were specifically to figure out how could I do that legally. And then it was, I knew, okay, well, if I'm moving to a whole new place, community is so important. You know, it's like I really do believe in that Jim Rohn quote, which is that you are a couple of things. One is a Jim Rohn quote, which is that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Yes. No. Oh, my goodness. It changed my life about 3 years ago. I mean, I literally lived day to day as if that were true, and it changed my life dramatically. And who I have in my life now, who I'm surrounded by in terms of friends and professional contacts, is I couldn't have even dreamt it, honestly, five years ago. And it's, and it didn't happen just by chance. It's because I'm very deliberate about that. So I said to myself, another question I said is, who am I going to surround myself with that is going to help me make this a reality? Like, who do I need to surround myself with? Who do I need to get on my team of cheerleaders and inspirers and supporters? And then I knew I needed to get my family on board. You know, when anyone that's starting a business or going after something big, the people that are closest to you, whether they understand it or not, they're going to have an impact on you. You know, what they say has an impact on us, our parents, our siblings, our, you know, if we have significant others and our closest friends. And so it was really important to me that whether my family was happy or not that I was moving to San Francisco, or even when I was, you know, starting my own business and sort of taking that leap from employee to entrepreneur, whether they agreed with it or understood it, I needed them to just support me with it. You know, and support really just looked like not stopping me. and in a way, I'm pretty unstoppable. And it was important that I brought my family along. Not like, well, if you're not going to join me, then I'm just going to leave you and never talk to you again. You know, that's just not how I want to have relationships with people in my life. So that was one of the first places I started, too, was just enlisting the support of people that were important to me that were already in my life, and then meeting new people that I knew I needed to have in my corner to create and make this vision a reality. So that included people in San Francisco in the startup world. That included people in San Francisco in the personal development and professional development world. That just included the kinds of people that I wanted to be around, and or people in Toronto that knew people in San Francisco. You know, so I really did, I'm a true believer that the quality of relationships you have is one, you know, a big measure of the quality of your life, but also the quality of the results that you can achieve, you know, because everything happens through people, everything, and relationships. So those were a couple of the first things I did in terms of specific actions. One was figure out the legal things and all that stuff that I had to take care of to make it a reality. And two was building the right relationships and bringing along the right people on that journey.
Wonderful. And in terms of building relationships, it's like we say in coaching, I'm sure you say this too, everything really lies within the context of a conversation.
Absolutely.
And there are so many times when we don't have the conversations necessary, or we're fearful, therefore we don't have them, and that sort of thing. So what would you say, what would be sort of your number one tip for people who perhaps are going through a transition or want to go through a transition in their lives, and perhaps they're a little apprehensive, should I say, not fearful, but apprehensive about having those conversations with their close ones, their loved ones, or friends and family? Because people, you know, if we're going for something big, like your clients are, they're going for a big change in their lives or they're up-leveling, sometimes it is tough to have those conversations with the people around us because the people around us don't want us to change. They like things just the way they are.
Yeah.
So what would be sort of your number one tip there in terms of having those conversations?
Yeah, great question. Two words came to me right away. Be vulnerable. I continue to learn this lesson for myself daily, you know, to this, like, as recent as this weekend, you know, that's shown up for me. And what I have noticed, it's difficult to be vulnerable. You know, I mean, that's a fact. It has us be, you know, it requires us to step out of our comfort zone. It takes courage to be vulnerable, you know, to be seen and to be heard in our most sort of scared places, or maybe even dark places or shameful places. I mean, that's a big deal. So I don't say that lightly, and I know because I daily take it on to be vulnerable, and I know how hard it is.
Yep.
Why I say that? Yeah, go ahead, Amy.
No, I was just agreeing with you there, how difficult it is, and we have to keep putting ourselves on the line to be vulnerable.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially as leaders, we feel that we have to, like, pretend like we have it all together. We have to have it all together. Not like we have to pretend, but that we have to have it all together, except that we're human. So if we're putting out there that we have it all together, it's just not authentic. You know, I know that a lot of what I have out in the world looks like I have it all together. Let me tell you, I don't. And now I am embracing that. Like, I'm embracing my humanity, that I have fears, that I don't have everything together, that my finances are a mess, and yes, I went to business school, and I still can't really read financial statements. And, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm ashamed of, and yet it's only in sharing with other people these things that they can help me, that they can support me. And so being vulnerable is, I think, a really, really great place to start for anyone who wants to enroll the support of others. And if I think about, like, some of the tough conversations, for example, that I had with my father, you know, who, when I said I'm moving to San Francisco, he was, of course, disappointed because he didn't want me to move far away. One was definitely being vulnerable and telling him why it was so important to me and why I really, you know, wanted him to just support me with it and, like, love me through it and not make me feel guilty about being further from him or my siblings or this or that, like, that wasn't supporting me. So just to tell him genuinely what I needed from him. The other is to be really clear. You know, when we're clear about why we want something, why we're doing something and what we want, we have so much more strength in having that conversation with somebody else. So I was really clear about why I wanted to do what I wanted to do, that when I was then having the conversation with my family, sharing some big news that I knew would be, you know, disappointing or upsetting for them, whatever they said, I could hear it and appreciate where they were coming from without having that take away from what I wanted and changing my mind or allowing them to change my mind.
Fantastic.
Because I was so clear that was my truth, is that right now in my life, I need to be in the Bay Area to serve the people I want to serve, build the kind of business I want to build, and have the kind of life I want to have. You know, that was my truth, and I was clear about that. And so it was that clarity that allowed me to have these conversations and allowed me to be really vulnerable about it too.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, if anybody would like to call in and ask Ahalia a question, the number to call in is, if you're in the States, 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And if you would like to follow Ahalia, her website is Oli Leadership, that's OLIleadership.com. Her million viewing TV channel is Ahalia.tv, which is Ahalya.tv. And you can follow her on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn by typing in Coach Ahalia. So my next question for you is based on looking forwards and really what it is that you help your clients dream about. You know, how do you help them dream their dreams, so to speak, into reality? How do you make them achieve it, or help them, should I say, achieve it?
Just this weekend, I actually had a leadership event, my first ever in the Bay Area, and it was incredible. And the work that we did on Saturday morning was around their leadership journey and their leadership mission statements. And so every one of these leaders walked out with a greater sense of who they wanted to be in the world as a leader. And I love your show's name, Being Brilliant. It's not like
right?
Doing Brilliant. You know, it's being brilliant. And that's really what I have all my clients really get clear about, is who they want to be in the world. There are lots of things we want to do, you know, lots of things we want to achieve in terms of results of like things that we want to create. All of that is sourced, though, from who we're being. And so as leaders get more clear about, being generous, I want to be generous, or I want to be inspiring or empowering or whatever that word is for them, or set of words. And once they can really deeply connect with that, who they want to be, who they want to be remembered as, what they want to stand for, and the kind of difference they want to make, then we can start talking about, okay, so then what are the actions that are consistent with that, that are aligned with that? Okay, now they have a new opening for how they can have a conversation with somebody on their team that maybe hasn't been going so well recently. You know, a lot of the work I do with leaders I specifically work with is around managing their people, inspiring and influencing their people, dealing with those interpersonal dynamics that oftentimes is what keeps leaders up at night. It's like, am I doing the right thing for these people? How do I make this person more motivated and engaged? How do I bring the best out of this other person I just brought on the team? You know, it's those kinds of problems and challenges that I help leaders with. And I know that all of that starts, like resolving all of that, handling all of that effectively starts with a look at ourselves as a leader. What are, you know, who are we being in the situation? How can we approach it differently? How can we look at it differently so that we can approach it differently? And so that's a lot of, the conversations I have with the leaders that I work with.
Amazing. And for the people out there listening, who is your ideal client? You know, if somebody would like to follow up and contact you afterwards, how would you describe your ideal client?
Yeah, I'll start sort of from a demographic standpoint almost. You know, I typically work with, like I said, younger leaders, so typically under 45. They're usually a founder of a company, a CEO or an executive or a leader, so someone in sort of a leadership role that's managing people and or has a lot of influence over people. And someone who's really ambitious and committed to their own growth. You know, all of the work I do requires somebody to be open to coaching, open to feedback, wanting and a desire to learn and grow and develop themselves in order to make a difference, you know, in order to contribute. And so that is a key sort of criteria in terms of the kind of people I work with. And typically they're men. You know, most of the time, and people often ask me, well, why males? And it's because I have primarily worked with men in my 10-plus, you know, years of my career. I worked a lot with senior executives who were primarily men. And I genuinely feel called to work with men. I think that there's an incredible women's empowerment movement out there, and I believe that men need to be empowered as well. And
I agree.
I've developed a skill set to, work with men that are brilliant, with brilliant minds and big egos. And I love it. I really find that work fulfilling. And I see it as a way, you know, I think that empowered men empower women. So I just see it as like my work in the world to make that difference. And so that's specifically why I work with males. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't work with people over 45 or I don't work with women. Of course, you know, I'm open to anyone that's interested in working with me. That's really most important.
Okay, wonderful. Now, as my regular listeners will know, I ask all of my interviewees, what is their most favorite song that really inspires them and gets them up and moving? And you chose one that is very close to my own heart. I did 100 Days of Happiness last year, and I listened to Pharrell's Happy Song every single day for 100 days.
Wow!
And I'm a firm believer that energy flows where attention goes. So I chose Happiness for 100 days, and my goodness me, it worked. So I'm going to play this song now, and I'd like you afterwards to share with our listeners why this is such an important song for you and what it brings to you. Okay, so here we are, Pharrell's Happy Song.
I'm
I just love that song. Every single
time I
hear it.
How can you not be happy after listening to it, right? I was just dancing along over here.
So you're dancing, singing along. Oh, my goodness me. So just share with the listeners, or share with me as well, why did you choose that song in particular?
Oh, my gosh, for exactly why I have, you know, for why I feel right now the way I feel. It really makes me happy. I mean, it's pretty simple. I don't know if there's some psychology behind the fact that there are, you know, the word happy is every 5 seconds in that song.
Yeah.
And the chorus is happy, happy, happy. I don't know, but it's just, it really, I mean, the second the song comes on, it's got a catchy tune. My body wants to move. You know, my body moves whether I want it to or not. I just start to dance when I listen to that song, and I love to dance, and dancing makes me so happy. So any song that makes me dance automatically is a good song in my books, and I think everyone should dance a little bit more. You know, I literally was dancing right now, like as I was listening to the song, and so I love it for that purpose, and it just, it's so, like, uplifting. You know, there's something about the energy of that song, mm-hmm. and for me, to be honest, when I listen to most songs, I don't even know what the words are. It's like, I know maybe a couple lines, but that's about it. So it really isn't about, you know, how meaningful the lyrics are or anything like that. It's just how that song makes me feel, and I would say that probably many things in life I love because of how it makes me feel, and this song just makes me feel good and happy.
Yeah. Me too. So for anybody who wishes to download that song, it's Happy by Will Ferrell. And like I said, I listen to it every single day for 100 days, and it's like magic. Just brilliant. Wonderful. So moving forward, I'd like to ask you, what does being brilliant mean for you? Because within the context of your coaching, I know you also talk about brilliance, and you help your clients shine their own brilliance into the world. So what does being brilliant mean for you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's not a coincidence that you and I love each other. You know, you have a show called Being Brilliant, and I'm writing a book called Lead with Brilliance. And clearly we have some alignment here in terms of what we believe. And, you know, I truly do... One, I think it's important for people to know, you know, your listeners, to know that I believe that everyone's brilliant. Everyone has a brilliance within them, some genius. Everyone can be brilliant. And the work I do and the work I encourage everyone to do, whether you're working with me or not, is to discover that brilliance. And so... part of being brilliant is to discover that brilliance. And when I say brilliance, what I'm referring to is that thing that only you can bring to the world, that thing that only you bring to the world. And I see it as a combination of a lot of different things. You know, you and I, Amy, we might have very similar values. We might even have similar strengths. But, you know, what might be different is in how we engage with people. You know, we might have different personalities, or we have a completely different journey, a completely different story, and that in and of itself, you know, allows us to contribute to people in a completely different way. And so I know oftentimes people say, well, there's nothing that unique about me or that special about me. And it might not be any one particular thing. You know, you might not be a better better at one specific thing than somebody else, but it's a combination of everything that you bring that makes you brilliant. And so I recommend that everyone slow down, stop, and reflect on who you are and how you got here and what you stand for. And those things are what make you brilliant, and expressing that, sharing that with the world is what being brilliant means to me. And I really do believe that when you're being brilliant, when you're expressing that in the world, you are going to be most fulfilled and you'll be of greatest contribution to the world. So it's both a selfish and selfless act, you know, and from my perspective, there's nothing selfish about it. And so that's really what that means. And I want to share actually just the if there were five things that I would recommend that you get really clear on in terms of your brilliance, it would be your values, things that are most important to you, your mm-hmm. strengths, things that you're really great at that you do naturally and effortlessly, or things that you've learned and you're really great at because you've just learned them and you're good at them now,
mm-hmm.
and that you like them, you know, things you like. Your passions, things that, like, you can read about or activities you do that, and time just flies by, you don't even notice because you're enjoying it so much or you're just so much in the zone. You know,
right.
Those are often a great clue on what your passions are. Your ideal work environment, like your ideal environment, doesn't have to be work and life environment. Where, what environments do you thrive in? Like, I thrive in places like the Bay Area. I did well in Toronto, but to be honest, you know, I always kind of felt like a little bit of a misfit. Like, I was different from everyone around me.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of people you want to surround yourself by and the kind of physical environments that you're inspired by. I'm really inspired by natural beauty and, you know, being around water and all of that. So I know that I'm at my best when I'm in those environments. So that's the ideal environment. And then the last is your lifestyle. So desired lifestyle in terms of, like, oh, if I could wave a magic wand and have, you know, the kind of life and lifestyle I want, what would that look like? And just minimum needs lifestyle. You know, what do I absolutely need to make things, to live a daily, day-to-day life? And being clear about all of those things then allows you, that clarity allows you to then express your brilliance. That's where I would encourage people to start. And that's where I start with my clients when I'm helping them. You know, I work with a lot of leaders around their leadership capabilities, but oftentimes leaders are ready for that next thing mm-hmm. in their careers, and they're not really sure or clear on what that is. And so I take them through this exercise of identifying these five things before they make any big decisions on what's next for them.
Wonderful. And there's this question about whether leaders are born or made. What is your take on that one?
Yeah, a great one. Everyone can be a leader. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a commitment. It's a decision. And so I absolutely believe that leaders, you know, are made. And I think that some people have natural abilities, natural leadership abilities, natural tendencies. Some people are just more naturally empathetic or more naturally charismatic or, you know, can connect with people instantly or, you know, a lot of different things that make great leaders great.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can learn and develop those skills. And what it really takes, because even the most charismatic person may not be a great leader if they're not choosing to be a great leader, you know, if that's not what they want, if that's not what they're committed to. So I would say it's more about the choice and the commitment than it is about any sort of raw skill or competency.
And what is that commitment to, particularly?
Well, I have a belief that leadership it begins with self-mastery. Like, it begins with self-awareness and self-mastery. And when I say self-mastery, what I mean is, you know, sort of a lot of people speak about it in terms of ancient, you know, spiritual sort of wisdom or practice of knowing the self, being mindful, clearing the mind, all of those things. And as we become the best version of ourselves, you know, as we become the best version of ourselves and are committed to that, committed to every day being better, learning and growing and seeing that there is so much more to know in the world and so many different ways to do things and perspectives, as we continue to expand and open our minds and clear our minds and master ourselves, and as we commit to that on a daily basis, you know, that's really what I think is, that's how I think leaders are made and developed.
Brilliant. I couldn't actually agree more. So when you, you know, for the listeners out there who perhaps haven't ever hired a coach before, but have a burning desire inside to do something more or do something bigger with their lives, what would you say? What would be one of the very first sort of level conversations you'd perhaps have with somebody who knows they want to contribute more or step into something bigger? but haven't necessarily had that introspective look yet for self-mastery, what would you say?
So I often talk about this concept called function over form. I think it actually comes from the world of architecture and design, and I talk about it a little differently, I think. And it's to really get clear on your why. So I'm going to throw out one of my favorite TED Talks out there and thought leaders. The book out, is you probably know where I'm going with this, is Simon Sinek and his book Start With Why. And he's got an incredible TED Talk, which I recommend to people if they're not into reading books. it's 18 minutes worth watching. And he talks about how, you know, the most powerful way to impact people, influence people, bring people along, you know, to be a great leader is to be clear on your why and what you believe and why you believe what you believe. And share that with people because, you know, beneath like a bigger vision, there's always a why. And that's, you know, and how I talk about that is focusing on the function over the form. The form is like what something looks like. It's the next thing you want to do or create, the next job you want to have or the next business you want to start or the business you want to start. And that's the form. That's like the what it looks like. But let's just stop for a second and talk about why that's important to you. Why does that matter? And as we're connected with the why, it gives us like the energy, the motivation, the courage, the all the things, the perseverance, all the things we need to do to start that next journey, which oftentimes is a scary one, has a lot of uncertainty, a lot of risk, and you know, a lot of potential for failure and judgment and disapproval and all of these things that as human beings we don't like and want to avoid, you know, for in most cases. And so in order to really, you know, move forward and start creating that vision and making it a reality, being connected, like deeply connected with our why is the first place to start. And so that's, you know, that's where I would start with anyone and encourage anyone to start is get very clear on that. Don't even take a step. Don't even take any action until you for yourself are clear about why you want to do that next thing.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, again, if anybody has any questions for Ahalya whilst we're live on air, the number, if you're in the States, is 646-716-7979. Otherwise, you can send me a quick Facebook message and I can ask the question to Ahalya through there. There is a chat box also online if you're following us online. And you can find Ahalya at olileadership.com. That's OLIleadership.com. Ahalya.tv, which is her TV show, which has had over a million views now, which is Ahalya.tv. And on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, she is known as Coach Ahalya. So I have a couple more questions here. Why Oli Leadership? What's the story behind that?
Great question. So Oli, first of all, it means light in my mother tongue. My mother tongue is Tamil. My mother's from South India, and she's Tamil. My father's from Sri Lanka, and he's Tamil, so I'm 100% Tamil. And my name actually means... Ahalya, it actually refers to a lamp, like an Indian lamp in which the light never dies. Like an eternal light. Yeah, and I've really, I mean, I've grown to love it, and I'm so grateful to my parents for naming me what named me. And I started to notice, and so, you know, I started my business now 4 or 5 years ago, I think, and when I was coming up with a business name, it was originally called Inner Oli, so Inner Light, and then, you know, now it's Oli Leadership, so it's had a little bit of a few iterations, and I'm soon going to be transitioning to Lead with Brilliance, but all of it is in the same world of this light, you know, an inner light, and that my belief that every individual has this unique light within them, that when they, you know, discover and express that in the world, they're going to be of greatest contribution and be most fulfilled. You know, I've said that a couple times already today. So for me, that's why Oli, that's where it all came from. It came from my name and it came from the fact that as I started to be more aware and noticing what people were saying to me about my own brilliance, I realized, wow, my whole life people have been referencing me and light. Like people have been saying, Ahalya, you are such a light in my life. You light up a room. Your energy is so bright, like my whole life. And it took me years, you know, decades to actually put two and two together and be like, wow, my parents are from, you know. It's like, I don't know if I stepped into it or my parents just knew or what, but either way, I've been living that my whole life. And then I started to see, wait, that's not unique to me. That's true for everybody. And so that's really like the fundamental, you know, belief beneath it all. And I want to share a quote that comes to mind, and I think we have time for it. It's one of my favorite quotes, like literally on the planet, and I have a lot of favorite quotes, so this is a big testimonial quote. And it's a quote by Marianne Williamson.
I love it.
There, and, you know, often misquoted to or misattributed to Nelson Mandela. He said it in a speech. Yeah. And I'm just going to actually read it out. Is that okay, Amy? Can I just read it out?
Yes.
I have it in front of me. Okay, great. Because it is very fundamental to what I believe and the work that I do and where my why comes from. So she says, it's got a couple references to God, and I'm going to say them, but, you know, you can listen to it without that part as well. And she says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most brightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people around you won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that's within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in every one of us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And as we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
I just love that so much.
Oh, I know. It really is so core to, you know, the work I do, and so thank you for letting me share that.
Absolutely. It's been such a powerful, I mean, she's such an incredible woman. That's Marianne Williamson, by the way, for all our listeners. And Nelson Mandela used that speech, that same quote, rather, in his address to the nation of South Africa when he stepped into power, which is testament to the power of that quote in and of itself. So thank you so much for sharing that. It means a huge amount to me, that quote as well. And I remember seeing her on stage where we met at Brendan Burchard's event in San Francisco 3 years ago. And my goodness, her presence is just incredible. I mean, she was just magnetic. Absolutely. I mean, she lived that quote to the core. She was absolutely brilliant. So thank you so much for reminding me of that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah. So let's just look now as we're wrapping up. How can people work with you? Like, if people want to reach out to you after this show, what's the best, you know, what's your best form of work? How do you work best with people? And how can they best get in touch with you?
Yeah, great. Well, for listeners around the world, you know, outside of the U.S. and outside of the Bay Area, I do one-on-one executive coaching, and I've had clients, you know, anywhere in the world. We would do it. It would happen by Skype or by phone, lots of ways to communicate. And the best way to reach out to me is actually quite directly. I'm just going to give an email address that people can just write to my team, and it's support@oliLeadership.com. So support, SUPPORT, at OLILeadership.com. Send me an email. Let me know that you listen to this radio show, and we'll start an application process. You know, it's really important that there's a good fit between yourself and myself, and that I really can serve you and support you with what you're looking for support on. And so if you send us an email, then we'll get that process going. and assess whether we'd be a good fit to support you. And if you're in the Bay Area or in the U.S. or in the world and willing to travel to the Bay Area, then I am holding leadership events, and I'm bringing groups of founders and leaders together to engage in dialogue around leadership, what it means to be a leader for you, how to be a more effective leader. And I'm just getting started. I just had my very first event that went incredibly well this weekend, and I'm so excited to bring more male founders and leaders together and have conversations that are meaningful to them, to create spaces where they can be vulnerable and open and share some of their fears and some of their challenges and get support from myself and other people that are dealing with similar things and really wanting to create that space. And, you know, I think of them as these events as made for men, led by women. And like led by really powerful women who are committed to men being empowered and men creating lives and businesses that you want, and you know, just working with women that are incredibly compassionate to what men deal with. So for anyone that's interested in those events, probably the best way to stay in touch with me, you're welcome to send an email, but the best way is to follow me on social media and get on my email list so that you are kept aware of these things. So there are lots of ways, all of which Amy shared earlier, whether it's Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. Probably Facebook, my Facebook page is the best thing to like, and then go on my website and get on my email list, and you'll hear about things as they happen and as they become available as well.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And this is what I love about the work that you're doing is that it's so missing on the planet right now, and you're fulfilling that space. You're creating the energy around it, the space for it, for men to step into their brilliance and to open up a safe space for them to share, but within the context of peers as well, which I think is just so fundamentally important these days. Because I know that particularly here in England, we tend, and particularly the men, tend to shy away from things like that, and it's seen as something that's not very masculine, for example. to have a coach or to have support, or, you know, I can do it all on my own sort of thing. But actually, it's with support that we grow, that we learn, that we develop, that we accelerate all of this so that we can, like coming back to brilliance, so that we can shine our brilliance more effectively, more brilliantly. So,
it's also more fun. Also just so much more fun to do it with other people and, you know, not have to do it all on our own. And I speak for myself and all the leaders I've worked, you know, in my own experience. It's like, oh, why have I been trying to figure this out on my own all this time? There are so many people want to support me, that want to contribute to me. And, you know, and I've just not been allowing it.
Yeah. And what's your
biggest? That's, you know, I remember something that actually somebody, one of the attendees of the event this weekend said, and he posted it actually on Facebook. He said, within a few minutes, I felt like I had known the other men in the room for years.
Oh,
and
brilliant.
That's really the kind of space I want to create for people, is that we don't, there is no small talk. This is not, you know, it's like we just go real deep, real fast. And it's meaningful, and it's like, oh, our hearts are happy, and our minds are stimulated, and we walk out better people and better leaders, and that's my intention.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Ahalia. We're at the top of the hour now, so absolutely wonderful to reconnect with you and to have you on the show. I'm just so happy this has happened. And I look forward to coming to visit you again in San Francisco soon. So,
oh, I'd love to see
watch
you.
Out.
I can't wait to see you. And thank you so, so much for having me. I really trust that your listeners have gotten value from this, and I can't wait to hear from them via social media or email. So please, please reach out. I love hearing from you and would love to hear what you got from this conversation with Amy and I. So I can't wait to hear from everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the evening, rest of the day, wherever you are in the world.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a gift receipt.
On your mark, get set, save. Get to Nissan's Bottom Line Summer event and take home a winner with big model year-end offers on our award-winning lineup. Hurry, offers end soon. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com today.